Blog Talk Radio.
Let's go. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the war room. You got Dev, Q, Jimmy, PJ, and B. Austin, the hot block commander.
Give it to you. How you want it in the 1 to 2 hour show to keep the brain running with the premise to talk sports on a national level? Bold with them topics, sort of like some rebels. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five show on prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. From sports medicine to sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the world ain't Kuwait. It's the war room with 5 nights at the round table. 5 Philly guys, diversified and educated.
Yo, yo. Fellas. Happy Thanksgiving. What's going on?
Happy Thanksgiving back to you, brother.
How was the meal?
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there.
I had a good meal?
You already know. Yeah, I'm saying, I just kicked in and everything, but I'm going to fight through it.
Yeah, I'm sleepy. So if I, you know, I fall asleep during the show, y'all just pick me up real quick.
I blow that air horn, Paul.
All right, so happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Welcome to the War Room Thanksgiving Turkey Roast. Thanks for joining us on this special holiday edition. We're your hosts. Tonight it's just me, Devin. I'm in the kitchen with B. Austin and Jimmy. Unlike us, Nikhil and PJ have lives, so they'll be back with us next week. We've cooked up a special dinner for you guys tonight. As an appetizer, we'll recap UFC 123, preview tonight's two NBA matchups, and discuss some of the major NBA storylines. As the main course, we'll recap the early NFL games, preview the nightcap, and discuss the stories from a wacky week in the NFL. For dessert, all throughout the show, we'll count down some of the greatest Thanksgiving Day moments in NFL history. We know you're with the fam, but we still like to hear from you tonight, so call in when we open up the phone line. That number, again, is 323-410-0012. So before we get into these birthdays, we'd like to give you number 5 on our list of great NFL moments. Number 5 came in 1994, Cowboys versus Packers. With Troy Aikman and Rodney Peete out due to injury, the Cowboys turned the third-string quarterback and now head coach Jason Garrett. Garrett threw for 311 yards and 2 touchdowns as he led the Cowboys to 36 second-half points as they beat the Packers 42-31. So now, let's get into these birthdays.
My birthday, yay!
First birthday, beloved man in the city of Washington, D.C. 70 years old today, Mr. Joe Jackson Gibbs. B. Austin, Joe Jackson Gibbs, what do you think of?
Gave Doug Williams a chance. And just a nice guy, man.
Yeah, sometimes I thought he was too nice to be an NFL head coach, but it worked for him, you know, back in the counter trade days. Jimmy.
Yeah, when I think of Joe Gibbs, it's funny because I think that he must have knew something. He must have been a hell of a manager because not only did he have success in the NFL, but he's been very successful in NASCAR as well. So for a guy that,
He's a beast,
like two different industries in a sense, and he actually has success in two. Some people go through life without having success at one thing. So he knows something.
Yeah. The next birthday, we're going to go, he's 29 years old today, NBA player. He's one Mr. Jared Jeffries.
My birthday, yay!
Jimmy, what do you think of when you hear the name Jared Jeffries?
Yo, Jared Jeffries is a less-than-average NBA player, but when I think about him, honestly, I think about maybe he left college too early because he didn't have time to develop, and he was, you know, okay on a collegiate level, but I believe he left, like, you know, after his sophomore year. If he would have put some time in to work on his game.
You know why he left? Because
why
he realized himself that he was nowhere near as good as the hype that was following him at the time, and in my opinion, he's one of the worst. You don't think he would have got
any better?
I don't know. He didn't get better in how many years in the NBA? He's trash.
Yeah, but I mean, that's like jumping to a whole nother level of competition. It's like, you know, he just got thrown in with the Sharks. But who knows? I mean, he's just an example of somebody that maybe should have came out as early. But, yeah, I guess he cashed in.
After like 9 years, I still don't know what he can do. Brad.
You going to seriously ask me about Jared Jeffries? Yo, AI can't get a run, yo?
That's all that needs to be said. Our next birthday. today he turns 47 years old. He's one Mr. Bernard Joseph, better known as Bernie Kosar. Brad, Bernie Kosar.
Yo, for some reason, and I'm going to say pause to this, yo, I like Bernie Kosar and I like Vinny Testaverde, man. They was like the same player to me.
Kosar was pretty good. I mean, he had that sidearm delivery. Actually, when
yeah,
I was
that was weird.
I used to throw like that. So, you know.
Yo, I think
like
of Bernie Kosar, I think it's a couple of things. It actually brings me back to it, like the time when I fell in love with football, when it was great Broncos, Cleveland Brown games. He had that sidearm delivery, but you know, I remember that Cleveland like fixed the draft to get Bernie Kosar. Like, dude, they played some kind of scam where he was supposed to come out 1 year, and when he realized I think Buffalo was had the pick, he went back to college. Like, there's some kind of scam they pulled because he's from Ohio. For him to go to Cleveland, you know, it reminded me of the whole LeBron situation where it was fixed for the hometown kid to go to Cleveland.
Yeah. Certain things should never happen, but they do. The next birthday, one of you guys' favorites, turns 34 today, Mr. Donovan Jamal McNabb.
My birthday, yay!
Brad, what do you think of when you think of Mr. Donovan Jamal McNabb?
Cowardice.
Overrated.
Cowardice, overrated, overpated, overplated, protectionism, just a whole host of negative adjectives that I can't really say on the air because I would like our show to go someplace, and I know that Donovan made a deal with Satan the devil, so he's able to change our futures if we hate too much, so I'm going to keep the rest of myself.
Yo, when I think of one Donovan Jamal McNabb, I think of a couple things. I think of ground balls because, yo, I've never seen a quarterback in my life throw that many balls to the ground, no rainbow. But also, and no rainbow to this, I think of Ralph Tresvant because I've never seen a more sensitive athlete in my life. Yo, this is the – yo – yo, this dude right here is a sensitive quarterback. How you going to be a sensitive quarterback and play in Philly? Coward.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what I think of with Jamal.
When I think of Donovan Jamal McNabb, I think of Jason Kidd. Because Donovan McNabb throws the best bounce pass in sports. Period.
Yo, how your middle name going to be Jamal and you soft?
Yo, he's a sensitive bounce pass throwing dude. He's a noodle. Yo, go to the next birthday. I'm tired of talking about
that
jabroni.
Next birthday, today he turns 45 years old. He's now, you know, former NFL wide receiver. He's now on the Sunday Countdown show on ESPN. It's one Christopher Chris Carter.
My birthday, yay!
Jimmy, Chris Carter.
CeCe, when I think of Chris Carter, I think of a couple of things. I think of Buddy Ryan say he only catches touchdowns, which is the reason to let him go, which is the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. And also the fact that my man had his off-the-field troubles were so bad that he would score every week and still got let go. He was getting high something crazy.
Yeah, actually, Buddy said he let him go for his own good. You know, he had to get him out of a city like Philadelphia because, you know, he was trying to
– Yo, but the thing
all
is,
the goal
he was productive. Yo, he was productive – and still got, like, imagine what kind of issues he had, like, you know, because where the media is now, we would have known about some of the stuff he was doing, but just imagine the kind of things he was into for him to be that productive and still be let go, and the excuse being all he does is catch touchdowns.
Be right.
Good, very good points, Brother Jimmy. I'm going to go one further. I got several things to say. All I do is catch touchdowns. Now, imagine if Jerry Rice never existed, who would be the best wide receiver to ever play a game at this point?
That's a great question.
Chris Carter. Yo, Chris Carter had the best pure hands in the game. I'm not going to say he was better than Jerry because I think Jerry is the greatest wide receiver, but Chris Carter had the best hands in history because he was so slow, he was never open, but he was always open.
Yo, but the way he used to, like, drag the 2 feet in bounds to stay in bounds, yo. Like, he was nasty
yo,
with it.
And I'm getting hyped because Chris Carter is my man, Paul. Yo, Chris Carter used to practice during actual live practices. He said, yo, I'm either going to use my left or my right hand. You pick it. I'm not going to use both.
Damn. That's gangster.
All right.
Yo,
Chris Carter
is gangster, yo.
All right, so this last one, so our RIP birthday shout-out, Mr. Joseph Paul Jolton Joe DiMaggio. He was born today in 1914, passed in 1999. So we're going to give Joe DiMaggio a happy birthday, rest in peace shout-out.
My birthday, yay!
And with that, Jimmy can tell everybody what was happening today while you guys were on the grub.
Yes, sir. You know, usually this is our on-the-grind segment, but, you know, due to it being a Thanksgiving holiday, we're going to call while you were on the grub. Talk about a couple headlines in sports. The first one is Reds, Joey Votto wins the National League MVP by landslide over Albert Pujols. Now, what do you guys think about that, Dev? You think he should have won?
Yeah, I think he deserved to win. I didn't really think it would be, you know, by such a huge margin, but he deserved to win. I mean, the Reds had a really good season. Of course, they had a better season than the Cardinals, and I'm not a voter, so I'm not sure what all goes into that, but the choice was cool with me.
Yeah, Black Commander,
Reds,
what you think about that?
The Reds had a better season, but for Joey Votto, he's not a name player, and I think that during the season – that kind of did him – it was a disservice because he was having one of the best seasons in history, and
yeah.
It was still, like, very iffy that he would even make the All-Star game. In fact, I don't know that – did he make the All-Star team?
There was
some controversy with that. He was, like, a last-minute add-on, even though he was, like, obviously by far one of the best players in the entire league. So I'm happy to see him get his just due. With that, and hopefully now people will recognize him for the talent that he is.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the All-Star thing. The baseball season too long. I can't remember back that far.
Yeah, he did.
But
the thing about it is, he didn't initially make it, and the fans in Cincinnati were going like crazy. But it was like somebody got injured or something. There was one more spot left, and he got it.
Right.
You know, the thing about Joey Votto, which I find interesting, is I don't know if you guys remember, but he missed like a season or a half a season due to depression. His father had passed, and, like, he just got depressed and, like, stopped playing the game. So this is, like, sort of like a comeback in a sense. And, you know, it's crazy to hear because you don't hear that many athletes, like, missing time for depression, although it's a reality in the world we live in. I guess being an athlete and, you know, these guys are considered to be macho, no one wants to admit to that. But he did, got help, and he came back, and now, you know, he's a hell of a ball player. So shout-out to him.
Yeah, that is up. Shout-out to him.
Yeah, so the next thing I want to talk about is the AL MVP, which is Josh Hamilton. Talk about battling your demons. We all know about Josh Hamilton. So,
man,
Dev, what you got to say about that?
Yo, that's great that he was able to come back from all of his problems and win the MVP. He deserved it. It wasn't like a charity gift to Duke and Ball, you know, once he got his demons in line, the drugs and the alcohol. You know, you remember what they did in the playoffs when they won that first series. You know, when they did the celebration in the locker room, they did it with ginger ale for him. And then, you know, when he finished getting his celebration on, they broke out the real champagne. But
man, that's what's up.
Yeah, that's a real good story, man. I'm glad he won that.
Yeah, it's another good story.
Josh Hamilton was on his way to playing baseball in Santo Domingo or Uruguay or someplace. So to have him come back from the Mexican Standoff League and win MVP, like, I'm, yo, congratulations. Everybody likes a redemption story, so.
Yo, absolutely. And it's just to think that these two MVPs both have a great story, yet baseball doesn't play them. Not that you should take advantage of it, but just imagine if, you know.
They probably should.
Imagine if this was another sport. We would hear all about that.
Yeah. And it does their fans a disservice because, you know, obviously while they are not role models, as Charles Barkley would want us to know, the reality is that, you know, society does look up to them. So to play on that, really, it's not just marketing for revenue, but it's marketing for the better good of society, I believe, in some cases.
And absolutely. And those two, the MVPs, are two great stories. So shout out to both of them again. Another story, this is another sad story. It's about the Lakers game. A child died at the Lakers game. They fell 50 feet from the luxury box onto the concrete and lower bow. I mean, that's a very sad story. I don't know if you've heard about that, but if so, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I heard about that right after it happened. That's crazy, you know, because we've been to a lot of arenas, and I think about that kind of stuff. You know, surprisingly,
me
I think
too.
About that
Absolutely.
Kind of stuff when I'm in the arena, and either you're looking at the second level or you're looking at the luxury boxes, and there's nothing but a piece of glass there. So, you know, somebody just bend over the wrong way. Actually, I've seen someone almost fall trying to catch something that the organization shot into the crowd. Leaned over
I've
the second rail, and people actually
I've
had
seen
to hold
baseball,
on.
At baseball stadiums, I've seen it a lot. Yeah. I even seen that, believe it or not, at malls. When you're at a mall, there's multiple stories, and little kids are, like, playing on them, and their parents aren't paying attention. I'm like, oh, what's going on? Like, that's crazy, but that's a very sad story. B. Austin, what you got on that?
Well, you know, when you – once you have children, which, you know, I have three beautiful children, a son and two daughters, the sentiment becomes that much deeper because you imagine yourself in that situation, and it's almost unimaginable. Like, I can't even – like, I don't know what I would do without any of my children in my life. So to think of them falling in an arena – it just it hurts. My heart goes out to that child's parent. That's
they probably need to extend the glass on those levels.
They need to do something. Taller. They need to do something.
Yeah, definitely. I just show turn real sad now. So let me finish with that in terms of while you were on the grub, Dev. Get us started with the Pass the Rock because y'all turning this into a sad show right now.
Yeah, gotta. Get this show back on a positive note. Talking about little kids passing, that's not cool. So we're going to Pass the Rock. If this is your first time listening, Pass the Rock is a segment we do with all five hosts. In today's case, all three hosts get to rant on anything in sports that they feel the need to rant upon. I'm going to start today with what I call the Thanksgiving tragedition. So I'm going to be brief. In honor of the holiday, I want to talk about a question that has been getting posed to me all week, but also one that's been discussed in many sports circles in recent years. Why is it on every Thanksgiving day we football fans must be subjected to the NFL stylings of the lowly Detroit Lions? Now, don't get me wrong. My mother-in-law is a Detroit native and a Lions fan, so for that reason alone, I lightly pull for the Kitty Cats when they are of no threat to the Eagles. And let's face it, the Lions are never really a threat to anyone, so I may as well just make them my second team. However, anyone who knows me knows that I don't believe in second teams, so we can just go ahead and scrap that idea. With that disclaimer out of the way, which should cover me and keep me from being banned from my mother-in-law's sweet potato pie this Thanksgiving weekend, I'd like to know how in the world the perennial NFL version of the L.A. Clippers became a part of holiday tradition. Who started this tradition? Well, actually, I found out during today's installment of the Detroit's annual Turkey Day contest, it was the Lions' original owner, George Richards, who started the tradition way back in 1934. So I guess a better question would be, whose idea was it to maintain this tradition, and has he been fired yet? Though I'm not a fan of the Dallas Cowboys, their Thanksgiving tradition is a bit more understandable. Besides, they are, quote-unquote, America's team, aren't they? The fact that their bandwagon stretches from sea to shining sea gives their annual game some rooting interest, especially since their detractors reach just as big a range as their bandwagon. So cowboy lovers and cowboy haters alike have a genuine reason to watch them on Thanksgiving, whether it be to root for them or to hate on them. But who outside of Detroit roots for the Lions? And for that matter, who in America cares enough to root against the Lions? They're just the Lions. I think it's time for some new traditions. I think the NFL should traditionally change who hosts the Thanksgiving Day games every year. They change who plays in that terrible London game every year, so why not give us some holiday variety? And the most ironic aspect of this whole thing, the Los Angeles Clippers are hosting a Thanksgiving Day NBA game tonight at 10:30. WTF. Now that's funny. So with that, I'm going to come down the court, look off to my left, because we on a 3-on-3 now, so I ain't coming that far down the court. And I'm going to throw the no-look bounce pass to B-Rad over on the wing.
Hey, out there in War Room World, it's your Hot Block Commander. And this week I'm going to do two things, real quick. Five reasons that you cannot blame LeBron Ramon James for being a Ramon in this situation with the Miami Lukewarms. Starting with reason number five. Since seventh grade, LeBron Ramon has been celebrated for his potential and athletic ability with no apparent work or attention given to actual skills development and character development. So is it the media and the public that have created the monster? Certainly some blame can be assessed there. Number four, he hasn't had an opportunity to go through a full training camp with Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh being healthy, and a supporting cast that is healthy. And I know what some of you are going to say. That's kind of an iffy reason and maybe even an excuse. But we'll toss it out there for him since you guys accused me of being biased against Raymond. Number three, no coach other than Paul Silas has stood up to LeBron and demanded the best out of him. And when Paul Silas attempted to, he was fired in favor of Yes Man Brown. Number two, we saw in high school that LeBron places a premium on friends, quote unquote, and friendship and fitting in and being in the in crowd and creating camaraderie and doing what his buddies are doing. And he's not necessarily a leader. Perhaps we expect the most celebrated to be the leader, but that is societal mores, not necessarily Ramon's principles and values. And reason number one, now I may get harangued for this, but I'm not sure what his father figure situation is or what advice came from that direction, but some of these asinine and idiot things that he's doing in the media right now, like getting up in front of the world and telling people that he's playing too many minutes or coming on and hogging up all of our time to tell us he's going to take his talents to Miami. Listen, man to man, your pop wouldn't have let you do that if your pop was around. Okay, on to five things that can be done to help these jabronis get back to being the Heat instead of being the Miami Colts. Number one, pick and roll with the big three. Matter of fact, pick and roll with the best two players on the team. They don't run enough pick and roll basketball with LeBron and Dwayne Wade. Number two, move Ramon's ass to the one full time. You want to be Magic Johnson? Here's your chance. No better situation than to have you run the point guard full time. Number three, mandatory 10 to 12 post touches per game. Now, what this means, folks, is that he would have to go down to Houston and seek out the sage counsel of Mr. Hakeem Olajuwon. Alhamdulillah. Mandatory 10 to 12 post-ups. Get your big ass on the block. And if you put your big ass on the block, that Oscar Robertson triple-double for a whole season, that would happen. Number four, lock Wade and Ramon in a closet. Pause. With Ray Allen, Rip Hamilton, Reggie Miller, and Mike Red Tape, and don't let them out. Every day, they need to watch tape of those four players to learn how to play off the ball. Because right now, when one has the ball, all the other one does is stand around. There's no movement. It's congested, and they're depending on Eddie House to get in their ear and lead them. Eddie House. Right. Number five, consultation with the greats. LeBron, Bosh, and Dwayne Wade need to be on the phone with Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley, Magic Johnson, Isaiah Thomas, Chris Mullin, Larry Bird, Dave Bing, Connie Hawkins, anybody that'll listen and get that good wisdom. And lastly, as an aside, this wouldn't be number six, but Spoelstra, put a gag order on these monkeys, man. Get them away from the microphone. They're killing me. And with that, I go around the back, up for the layup, roll it down my arm, behind my head for the skip to my loop pass to Jimmy coming down the lane. Get at him, Jimmy.
You made a good point. I thought about that. Why is it that Ramon doesn't want to play the one? I mean, he plays the one anyway, if you think about it. But I agree with you. They should just start him at the one. I mean, he's the playmaker on the team. So that's some good points you made there. Anyway, War Room World, this is Jimmy, a.k.a. Spike Tarantino, a.k.a. The Blueprint, and coming to you with my PTR this week. In the War Room, I've been known to talk a lot of trash about people, and I've received tweets and messages on the book where people have called me a hater. Some have even said I don't like anything. Well, to quote the great poet Common, if I don't like it, I don't like it. It don't mean that I'm hating, end quote. Anyway, on this Thanksgiving, instead of talking about what I don't like, I have decided to talk about what I'm thankful for in sports. And what I'm thankful for both David Stern and Roger Goodell. Let me explain to you why. David Stern, in my opinion, is the greatest commissioner in all of sports. He transformed the NBA from a league full of angry drug addicts to an international game with many stars and many memorable moments. Roger Goodell, or as I sometimes call him, King Roger, or sometimes Dumbledore, has taken control of the league and held players accountable. He's held players accountable for their actions both on and off the field. I respect him for that, and I wish Bud Selig would grow some gonads, no rainbow, and run his league with the same enthusiasm and stern hand. Now, I love both the NBA and the NFL, but I'm worried as both leagues are facing an impending lockout. Stern and Billy Hunter, as well as Goodell and Damaris Smith, they need to make sure this doesn't happen. I understand it is not that simple, and I understand that changes need to be made, but no one wins if there's a lockout in either league. Please, no lockout. Especially us fans, the ones who pay their salaries. If there's a lockout, please don't try to appease us by giving us some scab players or any kind of shortened season. We don't want to see that. Trying to watch the NBA without the star players is like trying to watch Sanford and Son when Fred was on vacation in St. Louis and Grady was the main character. No one wants to see that, Mr. Stern. The same goes for the NFL. I do not want to see any scab players. Please, no. Seeing scab players in the NFL, that's like watching a Martin episode when Gina wasn't on the show. I mean, it was still Martin, but it just wasn't the same without Gina. So don't give me that. Don't become like that jabroni Bud Selig who refuses to let Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame, but he allows his locker rooms to rival the biggest pharmacies in America when it comes to the availability of drugs. This idiot allowed a baseball strike, cancellation of the World Series. He allowed an all-star game to end in the tie. I mean, Bud Selig runs Major League Baseball as though he went to the Enron School of Business. The bottom line is this. You guys have done a tremendous job running your leagues, and now it's time to make sure you don't throw it all away. Do whatever you have to make sure us fans have our football and basketball. If you do, I personally promise to pay for your overpriced NFL Sunday ticket and your NBA package. I'm nice. And with that, I dunk the ball.
And the crowd goes wild. All right, real quick, I'm going to let everybody know how y'all can get in contact with us here in the War Room. You can check out our website at warroomsports.com. Click on the Contact Us tab to send us a message about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. If you'd like to send an email to one of the hosts personally, all of our individual email addresses are also on that page. Become a fan of ours on Facebook at facebook.com/warroomsports. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/warroomsports. Subscribe to and become a fan of our YouTube channel at warroomsportstv.com. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. Join the chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, follow us, friend us, and favorite us to make the War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and to get updates and reminders about the show. Speaking of blogs, check out ours on the blog tab of our website. Please subscribe to our iTunes podcast so you can listen to the show at any time on your own device. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room during the show. So to call in and speak with the host, you can dial 323 410
0012. Press 1 when prompted. Pressing 1 is like raising your hand. And who knows, one of us might actually get to your call. You see, we've had a caller waiting on the line. We're going to get to you in about 2 or 3 minutes, 210. So just hold on the line, and we'll get to you. Jimmy, anything happening in the chat room right now?
A couple messages in the chat room in reference to what you said about the Lions. Most 215 said Sean Hill was the quarterback, so she had to root for Sean Hill. So fantasy football, if you got somebody going, I guess that changes whether you care about the Lions or not. You know, fantasy has changed the whole complexity of every NFL game for that matter.
Right, and I see we have a lot of people in the chat room, but nobody's
listening. Listen, go ahead.
He said, what's up with Brett Favre and why won't he retire? Gray Man, we will get to that. Trust us in our football segment. We actually get
to that.
Oh,
I got a lot
everywhere.
To say about that, Gray Man. Gray Man, hang around because I got some words for I'll wait till we get to that. Go ahead.
All right, but right now I'm going to go on and give you all our number 4 moment in NFL Thanksgiving Day football games. This one comes from 1976. Now, nobody on the show was born in 1976, so this one we really didn't see, but just because of the circumstances, we had to put it in there anyway. And I told y'all before, this is our show. We can do whatever the hell we want. So now, like I said, we can't speak on this performance, but like, we had to add it. Bills running back, O.J. Simpson, breaks his own record for most rushing yards in a single game as he rushes for 29 carries, 273 yards, and 2 touchdowns. However, due in most part to a poor passing performance from quarterback Gary Marenghi, he was 4 of 21 for 29 yards. OJ's record-setting day came in a losing effort as the Bills fell to the Lions 27-14. So now, Jimmy's going to take us into some combat sports. He's going to give us a recap on UFC 123 that just went down this past Saturday.
Absolutely. One quick thing about what you said about O.J. That's sad because of everything that happened in O.J.'s life. People forget just how nice this dude was. Who is Gary Marenghi? O.J. has never played with a quarterback I've heard of, yet O.J., yo, was putting up, like, retarded-type numbers. Like, O.J. was that dude. But that's a real quick sidebar. But people forget that because of, you know, everything else that happened in his life. But on to UFC 123, the recap. I'll talk about the main two matches that we previewed last week, which was BJ Penn fighting Matt Hughes, both legends. This fight is really not much to talk about. It ended in 21 seconds as BJ Penn knocked out Matt Hughes. It looked like he had somewhere to get to. He started off very aggressive. He caught him. And, I mean, this dude was knocked out to the point. It looked sort of like Paul Williams. You see Paul Williams get knocked out last week?
Yeah.
Well, it looked like that.
You got
It looked similar to that in the sense that, yo, he was snoring. Like, you can, like, watching TV, you can hear him snoring, you know. So, it's funny because we all like combat sports. Like, we love boxing. I love UFC. But when you see somebody get knocked like that, it actually is, like, a little freaky. When you see somebody snoring, it's kind of scary. But nonetheless, that fight was over in about 21 seconds as BJ Penn wins. Rampage, Mr. T, he won a split decision versus Lyoto Machida. And this was sort of like I said last week, how styles make fights. He won the fight pretty – it was a close fight, but he was the aggressor because Machida is like a counter puncher. So he pretty much won this bout just by being the aggressor. And, you know, in boxing, I can equate this to you ever see the fight? What fight was that? Was that Oscar De La Hoya when he stopped being aggressive and then lost the fight? Wasn't that Trinidad?
Oh, against Trinidad, yeah.
Yeah.
But he gave Trinidad a boxing lesson that night.
Yeah, he did, but then when he stopped being the aggressor, he thought he had it won, and you know, it's sort of the same type situation. So in combat sports, especially when it goes to the judges, anything can happen. So you definitely get points in both boxing as well as UFC for being the aggressor, and that's pretty much what happened in that. So, you know, it was definitely two great fights. I look forward to the next UFC 124, and I'll preview that before it happens. But, you know, this was a very short night with that KO, 21 seconds. But go ahead, Devin.
Now, the first one, the 21-second KO, because I didn't get a chance to watch. I'm still paying off the fight from last week, the pay-per-view. So. I got a bill. But what did he catch him with that put him out?
He caught him with a punch. He fell to the ground. He mounted him like, you know, basically staying on top of him to punch him in the face. And he only hit him with 3 shots. but they were, like, very accurate. And see, a lot of times in MMA, people, like, overexert themselves by swinging haymakers and going crazy. But BJ Penn is a savvy vet. He took his time, loaded up, hit this dude with three shots, and, I mean, you really could hear this guy snoring. It was kind of scary. Like, you know, you start like, oh, my God, like, this dude is, like, snoring. I equate it to, like, when you watch the NFL game, we all like hard hits, but then when you see somebody get hit, and you're that was kind of too hard. Yeah, it was one of those type situations.
Damn. Well,
hit Reggie Bush and he was throwing up water and placenta.
Yo. Even beyond that, the Eagles game this past week had one of those situations. You know, what was that? Who was that that went out this past week in the Eagles?
Ellis Hobbs.
Ellis Hobbs. Yeah, that's who it was. It was Ellis Hobbs.
Yeah.
Like, it was scary.
He almost put his head back into his turtle shell. Like, that was,
you know, as much as we like, you know, sports and things like that, no one wants to see anybody get hurt like that. I mean, but this is what happens sometimes when you have these violent sports. So it was one of those situations, but it definitely scared me.
I didn't see it, but I did get the audio from the post-game interview when the dude asked him, when he woke up. He finally woke up and they got to interview him, and this is what he said.
Yeah, he didn't know what happened.
My neck, my back, my neck and my back.
Yo, but seriously, when he did wake up and they went to interview him, he didn't remember anything. He's like, I don't know what happened, so I really can't do this. Like, he couldn't do the interview because he didn't remember what happened.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well.
Yeah. But, yeah, nonetheless, that's what happened. That's the recap for that. But what I want to do right now is I want to go into the NFL Thanksgiving Day moment number three. This was in 1989 when the Eagles beat the Cowboys 27-0. But this game is memorable to us more for what happened after the game, which led to this game being forever known as the Bounty Bowl. In his post-game news conference, Cowboys head coach Jimmy Johnson accused the Eagles head coach Buddy Ryan of placing a $200 bounty on the head of Cowboys kicker Luis Sendejas, who had been cut by the Eagles earlier that season. He also allegedly put a $500 bounty on the head of Cowboys quarterback Troy Aikman. While Aikman played through the entire game, Sendejas was knocked out during the opening kickoff of the game when Eagles linebackers Jesse Small pummeled him. During his press conference, Johnson said he wanted to talk to Ryan after the game, but he put his big fat rear end into the dressing room. Ryan responded to Johnson's comments by saying, I resent that. I've been on a diet. I've lost a couple pounds, and I thought I looked good. Yo, this is the greatest playoff. Like, for me, I know we got it as number three, but this has to be, like, yo, my personal favorite. Yo, he was putting $200 though, fam? Seriously?
Yo, that's what
he
I was about to say.
He put a $200
like,
bounty on the kicker.
Yo, this shows you, you know, what the financial situation was in the NFL back in 1989, because $200 and $500 can't get you a special teams tackle these days.
Man, never lie.
These dudes make so much money, they're like, you know, $200?
He was putting bounties on cats. So, yo, for that right there, I will forever love Buddy Ryan. He was like, yo. I know he may be reading this as the greatest Eagles coach, like, you know, numbers-wise, but Buddy Ryan was the most entertaining by far, followed by Ray Rhodes. Those
Buddy
two dudes
Ryan
provided so
won
much
games with one unit.
Yo, yeah, Buddy Ryan didn't believe in offense.
One unit and Randall.
Yo, Buddy Ryan didn't even know offensive players by name. He called them by number. I mean, this is years after being their coach.
Here's my question to you, Jimmy.
Yes, sir.
How do you – first of all, the kicker was in your system, so you had to have some kind of friendly relations with the dude. How do you cut the dude and then put a – was he that bad in training camp? Like, did he lose a few games for the Eagles when the season started and Buddy was just pissed at him?
But you know what? I mean,
because how do you put
football,
a bounty on a dude who was just on your team?
This brings up a whole other issue. I watched football back in those days. I was a younger guy, but I always watched football. One thing I noticed about watching football now and then, and this goes to all sports, is – guys these days are too friendly with the opposition. Back in the day in the 80s and early 90s, when a guy played for the other team, you just didn't like him. I mean, it didn't matter whether you like went to the same college, whether you guys lived next door, you didn't like him. And that's how it was.
Wes Hopkins and Andre the Greatest Waters had no friends anywhere in the world.
But even beyond that, I'm talking about throughout the entire sports, like throughout sports, whether it be basketball, you didn't like the opposition. These guys are so friendly. I saw last night watching the Heat, the Miami Lukewarms playing Orlando, and, you know, D-Wade gets knocked to the ground by Howard. Howard runs over and picks him up, like, you know, and smiling and laughing and giving each other hugs in the middle of the game. I'm like, Yo, where did he do that at? Like, seriously,
that
like,
whole situation. Like, what did? Yeah, it's too funny in sports now. But you know why? Because free agency has taken all of sports by storm. So you don't get rivalries because everybody doesn't stick on their same team throughout their whole career. So you don't grow to hate dudes because you know you might be playing with this dude someday.
Yeah,
and like
right.
people like LeBron, LeBron can't beef with anybody because you know he likes to get up and leave. So he never knows who he is.
I think overall, Cats is just soft, yo. He's
yeah,
a soft. Anyway,
but now, let's.
Yes, sir. Let's do some basketball talk. First thing I want to talk about, I got something to say to my co-host right now, the Hot Block Commander. Last week he was dissing my homie Luis Scola, talking about Kevin Love is, you know, the best non-athletic player, and I took offense to that, especially considering the day after you said it, Kevin Love put up like 0-7, some old nonsense. He put up numbers again last night, but my thing with Kevin Love, we want to talk about how the T-Wolves Lakers last Friday, Dev was in the house for the game. But to me, when I watch Kevin Love play, it looks like he plays, like Randy Moss said, when he wants to play. Some games he's into and he's balling all out of control. In other games, it looks like he's just going through the motions because he's getting paid. Dev, you saw him up close and personal. What's your opinion of the young man?
Yeah, well, like you said, I was at the Timberwolves-Lakers game in Minneapolis last Friday. I actually, you know, while I was there, I wanted to keep an eye on Kevin Love since we had spoken about him the night before. But in this game, for some reason, he seemed a little disinterested, and he didn't really do anything. The person who took over the game, if you want to call it that, for Minnesota was Darko Milicic. He had a crazy line, something like 26,
20,
11
20,
rebounds.
20, and 20.
He had seven blocks and like five assists. Dude, I mean, he showed, you know, why they thought he was good enough to be the second pick in such a talent-heavy draft, but he only does that like once or twice a season. So
he got the Kevin Love disease as well.
Yeah, but
let me respond.
Hold on,
at least
Kev balls out and then maybe takes a game or two off, not a season or two.
Milicic takes weeks off. Go ahead, B. Austin.
I really think that in that case, you have to understand that Kevin Love is a second-year player, and Luis Scola is quite possibly, if you consider his European time, he's an 8 to 10 year pro. So
I agree.
Their levels are a little different. Kevin Love would really still be in college if he wasn't an athlete. So, you know, understanding his level of maturity, I'm prisoner of the moment. Maybe I'm a little premature in celebrating his potential and his talent and ability. But I think that the upside that Kevin Love presents is even higher than Scola. And I think that I also offered this disclaimer about Luis Scola. I like Scola's game. First of all, he's not scared. And he goes hard at anybody out there, no matter how much better they are than him athletically. But back to the dude, Kevin Love, the range on his game, which is something that people don't talk a lot about, he plays well close to the basket. He's listed at 6'10". The dude is not 6'10". He's 6'7", maybe 6'8". And he plays all the way out to 24 feet. So he can stretch
disrespect to Kevin Love. I think that Kevin Love is going to be a tremendous player in the league. I was just saying that as of right now, in terms of we give unofficial titles in the war room, the title of the best non-athletic NBA player, it has to stay with Scola right now. Because Scola, like, yo, he's 20-8, 20-9 consistently.
Yeah, but
Kevin Love does have potential. I think you think part of it is playing in Minnesota, though?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It has to be. Do you want to play in Minnesota, Jimmy?
This was their starting lineup that night. Because Johnny Flynn was hurt, they had Sebastian Telfair at the one.
Bum.
They had, man, I don't even, what's the rookie's name from?
Wesley Johnson.
Wesley Johnson at the two. They had Darko at the five, Love at the four, and Beasley at the three. So, yeah, I mean, it is an atmosphere where you can put up some numbers because they're not going too deep on their bench every night. And what B. Austin was saying about his height, yeah, that's definitely true. Because, remember, I called one of you guys to ask what are they listing Darko Milicic
right
at these days, because he was way taller than Kevin Love. Like,
Kevin Love
he looked like
taller.
No,
Kevin Love is no taller than DeJuan Blair. And DeJuan Blair
is 6'7". Yeah, but Kevin Love, I mean, Milicic is listed as a 7-footer, though. Now, it's funny because I was watching the game last night that they blew. They had a lead, but, you know, they played like mental midgets down the stretch. But Milicic was, like, crossing cats over. I was like, yo, where did he do that? This dude's 7 foot, and he, like, you know, showing a little yo-yo out there.
Yeah. Yeah, but the game, wrap this up real quick. The game wasn't that eventful because, you know, I was there with some of my old HU peeps. Shout out to Rio and Razzlin. But, you know, talking with your friend, I was networking, too. You know, I was giving out war room cards and meeting coaches from the Vikings and stuff like that. But, it seemed like the Timberwolves were doing most of the scoring. I mean, that's maybe because the crowd cheered every time they scored, but then when you looked up, the Lakers are up by like 18 points. And that was the second night in a row that a Lakers player went perfect from the field and from the line. Barnes went perfect that night, didn't miss a shot. And remember the night before, Pau Gasol had gone perfect for the game.
But, yeah. I'm going to say this real quick. I'm scared of the Lakers, man.
Yeah, because this was a game where, like, Kobe didn't play major minutes. Like,
yeah.
Powell, the starters didn't play major minutes, and they easily got past the Timberwolves.
Yo, that brings up another point about the NBA. First off, we talked a couple weeks ago about who's the best coach in the world or of all time. And I said Phil Jackson's the greatest basketball coach, but I don't know about of all sports. Yo, Phil Jackson is that dude because the way he positions his team, just watching them play, like, yo – They're on cruise control right now, yo. They're like getting ready for the play. He's already sending shots at the Heat and all these other teams.
Yo,
like,
yeah, yo,
he plays
I was
mental
just
games
about
with people,
to get
yo.
To that. Yo, he's in the top 10 of all time in all sports just for that piece of mental chess that he's playing with the Heat. yo, when I saw that, I was amazed, yo. And some may say that it's in bad taste, but I think that yo, all's fair in love and war. And, you know, shout out to our veterans and servicemen, but, you know, it's war, man.
I understood where he was going because he's Phil, but I did think it was probably in a little bad taste to talk about another man's job. He, you know, anything else he said about the Heat is fair game. But, you know, Coach Spo, as they like to call him, he's definitely going to be in the hot seat in a few weeks.
Not just Dabio, but he pissed off the Magic's coach. He was pissed.
he talked about his job, too. He's like, man,
he
that was
both Van Gundy's. The other Van Gundy got on TV talking about, that's my brother. I'm like, yo, he pissed off all you dudes. You dudes are idiots because you fall for it every time. But, yo, on to some other basketball talk real quick. Amari and Westbrook named players of the week. Any thoughts on that of Amari Stoudemire and Westbrook being players of the week?
I got their stats from last week. Amari averaged 29 points on 60% shooting from the field, 9.5 rebounds. He had 8 blocks. They didn't even average that. He just had 8 blocks for the week. And he led the Knicks to a 3-1 record on a 4-game West Coast road trip. I think Amari has definitely made that team a little bit better. You know,
I'm gonna keep it 100. Jimmy has swayed me slightly in my perception of Amari. I do think that he's feminine in his characteristics and the way that he plays sometimes. But there's no questioning his talent and ability. And I'll agree with you. He has certainly made the Knicks. Him and Gallinari have that front line is nice.
I was telling our college contributor draft night a few years ago to give the dude Gallinari a chance. He was pissed when they made that pick, but that
Gallinari is better than Ramon. I said it first.
Yo, I wouldn't go that far. But yo, real quick, I watched the Knicks play, and Amari is definitely has always been a talent on the offensive end. My complaints with him is he plays no defense. He couldn't stick none of us during this call, right? He couldn't stick none of us during the show right now. And in terms of rebounding, with the athleticism and the size he has, no rainbow, he puts no effort into grabbing rebounds. When he played Kevin Love to bring it back to him, he got pushed around. Like, he wasn't even trying. But the most important part of the Knicks is Raymond Felton has stepped his game up.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't bad in the first place. You know, we just – you know, he's not, you know, they were talking about getting Chris Paul eventually. He's no Chris Paul. Raymond Felton wasn't bad in the first
place. He
wasn't
bad, but he's playing a lot better right now.
To your point about Amari's defense, remember last week against the Clippers, Amari had 39 and 11. But the guy he was sticking, Blake Griffin, had like 44 and 14.
Understand
this war room world. I don't want to like Blake Griffin. I don't want to like him. I can't help it, man.
Blake Griffin?
Yo, I'm not going to lie. Blake Griffin is the mulatto intercontinental champion because the heavyweight champion is Deron Williams. But the intercontinental mulatto champion, yo, he abused Amari Stoudemire. It was like embarrassing.
Yo, he was practicing seeing how high he could get to put his crotch in grown folks' face. Pause.
That was
crazy. Yo, everything in that game was a Blake Griffin highlight.
Yeah.
Mr. Russell Westbrook.
Spurs, what's your thoughts on the Spurs? The Spurs are balling right now, even considering Tony Parker got some issues going on. As a team, they're playing very well, and they have a nice winning streak going on. Dev, what's your thoughts on the Spurs right now?
Let me get to what's the name stats real quick. We ain't got to talk about it. I'll go to the Spurs, but I just wanted to give you Westbrook stats since we gave you Amari. He led the Thunder to a 4-0 week. He averaged 23 points, 7.8 assists, and 3.5 rebounds. Against Milwaukee, with 7.3 remaining in the game, he connected on two free throws to help secure their fourth consecutive victory. And he scored 31 against Boston with Kevin Durant out of the lineup. Now, Westbrook, he's up and coming. But the Spurs, year after year, we all count the Spurs out, and the Spurs just keep on doing it, man.
When we talk about coaching, I'll concede that Phil. I don't like Phil, but I'll concede that he's the best. But number two and number three is a back and forth between Popovich and Larry Brown for me. Popovich is a master, man.
He's a great coach.
Changed their offense. He's changed their style.
Yo,
they don't play the same.
But you know what though? Yeah. But here's the thing. I gotta give props to. Like people say, I hate a lot, but I want to definitely give props to one guy, and it's Tim Duncan, right? Because Tim Duncan, in my opinion, is now he has to be like a top 5 to 8 player of all time. Let me tell you why. He's already been a Hall of Fame player, but this guy is like really let other people take the lead in a sense in scoring. He's done things that. Other great players such as Shaquille, AI, a lot of these players that are like, you know, their games aren't what they used to be. He's like conceded that he's not the number one option anymore, but he still helps them win by doing other things. To me, that makes him an all-time great.
And he gets it done in the time of the game when they need to get it done.
Exactly. Yeah. But he doesn't complain about not being the number one option. Like, he's the ultimate team player.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, their team – I don't know what the team age is these days. I know they got a little younger with some of the guys they picked up. But it's just amazing to see the Spurs still hovering around the top of the league, you know, in 2010. It's crazy.
Yo, but what's crazy is it's like when you look at the best teams in the league, when you look at the Lakers, the Celtics, the Spurs, when you watch these teams play, it's like in a sense stats don't matter. You know what I mean by these guys are like they run their plays, they play together as a team, they play good defense. And then when you watch the Miami Lukewarms play, it's like everything's one on one.
All of their players 1 through 7, their 6-man and their 7-man rotation player, they've all stepped their game up. Richard Jefferson is balling like it's probably 4 years ago and he's with Jason Kidd. My man, Manu. Yo, he's balling like he's 25 instead of 33. Tony Parker, as you said, Dev, is balling. If you look at them, they're putting up numbers, man. They're putting up numbers. They're scared.
Yo, yeah,
Manu
Blair
will be injured.
DeJuan Blair is balling. He lost like 100 pounds, and he's balling.
With no knees.
Homie.
He literally has
with no knees. My man got no cartilage in his knee, and he's putting in work.
How does that even work? I don't understand that. Whatever.
How can he dunk like that?
What else you got, Jim?
Yo, more NBA talk as Reggie Bush just fumbles the ball. I just talked about Billy Hunter. Billy Hunter says that a lockout is 99.9% a lock, pun intended. I spoke my thoughts on, you know, the impending lockout and how I definitely don't want to see it happen. So what's your guys' thoughts on a lockout?
I think it's 50-50. I definitely don't think it's a sure deal. I think it's posturing at this point, because when have you ever seen a deal done 7 to 8 months before it needs to be done? So I'm not that worried yet.
Yeah, Billy Hunter, you're right. It might be a little posturing involved, because he's going real hard. Like, he said something like, if the owners want to lock us out and pull the roof down on themselves, then, hey, have at it. So he's basically challenging them, saying, you know, if you want to lose all that money because you don't want to make this deal, then so be it. But the big thing of why they're not at agreement right now is because the league is calling for a reduction in player salaries. They're trying to reduce salaries by like $100 million. I'm not totally opposed to that. You know, I'm always on the player side, like, get what you can get. But we all know it's a lot of bums in the NBA who make a whole lot of money.
You mad because Daniel Dalembert got $70 million and Joe Johnson got $119 million.
and AI can't
Yo,
get
that's
a run.
That is a travesty. No disrespect to Joe Johnson, but, yo, how did he get a max contract? I will never understand that. He's a good player.
He's the quietest superstar in the league.
Yo, he's not
quietest.
Even
a superstar. Yo, he's not the best shooting guard on his team, yo. He's not the best shooting guard. He's not better than Jamal Crawford. He's not.
Yo, he's not better than Josh Smith. Yo, he's not even their number one option. He's not better than Horford.
Horford just got, like, what, 65? He got shorted because they gave dude too much money. You know what Tyson Chandler is making this year? Dude is making, like, $12.8 million this year.
AI can't get a run?
Tyson Chandler averages 7.8 points and 7.8 rebounds. He's making $12 million. $12.8 million this season. So
he's worthless.
So what kind of bread would Mike Jaminski make today, yo?
Yo, the G-Man would get like 13, 14 a season. The G-Man was nice. Psych.
Yo, O'Donnell Foyle got a $60 million contract.
Yeah,
what about Bubakar Al? Yo,
O'Donnell Foyle, though, when O'Donnell Foyle signed that contract, did any of you ever see him play again?
No.
I don't remember the last time O'Donnell Foyle stepped on the court.
Yo, O'Donnell Foyle
retired.
He committed white collar crime.
He just retired,
yo.
And I haven't seen him play since 2006.
Yo,
he committed a white collar crime, yo.
He 419. He got his Nigerian 419 on.
Nah, he committed it.
Yo, next topic in basketball, real quick, y'all. We already talked a little bit about the Intercontinental Mulatto Champion Blake Griffin. Also, John Wall's balling right now. On the rookie watch, what you guys think about, rookie of the year?
Well,
I mean,
obviously
going to be the Bull.
I chose the Mulatto Intercontinental Champion when the season started, and right now I don't see any reason not to stick to it. Not saying that John Wall is better. It's a two-horse race as far as I'm concerned because, my beloved Sixers, they stink. It's not like the Clippers don't stink, but we stink, and our number two pick is – playing like, you know, I don't know what he's playing like because he's not playing like anything right now. So,
yo, B. Austin, what's your thoughts on the rookie watch?
Yo, the Mulatto Intercontinental Champion, a.k.a. Microphone. Yo, I don't know what to say about Microphone, man, yo. He's better he's better than the hype that they put out about him. And when do you ever see somebody live up to the hype, let alone exceed?
Yo, I
had
definitely
no
agree.
Clue that this dude was gonna be this good.
I think that it'll possibly be a co MVP season. Like we've seen
it
a couple times.
The only way that'll happen is if it's fixed, if it's marketing, because he's not. John Wall doesn't do what this dude does, man.
Yo, numbers wise, John Wall is putting up some crazy
John
numbers.
John Wall
yo.
Is averaging a dub right now.
He's averaging 29 and like 4 steals. Like he's putting up numbers.
He's averaging 8 turnovers. He is.
Yeah, but Brad, what young guard like John Wall who comes in the league and doesn't average a lot of turnovers?
Okay, I mean I'm not saying that
he's
that
a point
young guard.
Guard.
Don't
he's a young
that,
point guard. He has the ball in his hand all the time. He's going to turn the ball over.
I think it'll be just like who is it? It was Elton
AI
Brand and Steve Francis. AI averaged like 9
turnovers when he came in.
But no, I think it'll be like Elton Brand and Steve Francis won a co-MVP a couple years back. I think it'll be just
Jason,
like that. It'll be a co-MVP because
Jason
as much
Kidd
as you
and,
don't want to.
Jason Kidd and Grant Hill back in the
Stone Grant Hill, yeah.
Yo, can we talk about Grant Hill cramming on Ramon and why Grant Hill's knees is better than mine?
Yo, Grant Hill has found like some sort of magic, yo. Grant Hill, a.k.a. Harry Potter, knows the magic because this dude right here, yo, he's going backwards. I think Grant Hill is going to be in the draft in 2 more years because, yo, Grant Hill is like, he's getting younger. Like, I've never seen nothing like this where a guy gets older and, like,
yo,
gets better.
Maybe he's the real Benjamin Button.
Yo, Grant Hill. I'm going to tell our fans something. When you watch basketball and you see older players go to the rack or they're on a breakaway, you can watch their facial expression and their body language. And what it says is, I probably could dunk this. I probably could do something to get the crowd hyped. But I'm just going to lay this shit up, man. I don't feel like getting in the ice bucket. I don't feel like my knee's hurting. You know what I'm saying? Grant Hill goes to the rack and doesn't think about it. Yo, he's going to the rack to cause bodily harm and destruction at 38
real
years
quick.
Old.
Yo, real quick, in the chat room, Miss Mad said that no one over the age of 16 should do the dance that John Wall did. He looked extra like fruity doing that dance.
She said he looked extra rainbow doing the Dougie.
so that's a shot at kids.
Who said that?
Miss Mad. And she actually.
Yo, shout out to Miss Mad. Yo, but that's today's culture. Anybody under the age of 25 is cool with being asexual.
Speaking of, way off topic, the greatest church, supposedly, in this area in Maryland, First Baptist Church, we visited there like 2 weeks ago, and their pastor was doing the Dougie, yo.
Stop it.
Yo, black people are cool.
Yo, and I heard this past week, he did it again because it was like his anniversary, 21st anniversary, and some kids was up there, his son was up there, they brought him on stage. They actually played the song at church, and the dude was up there doing the stanky leg and the Dougie.
Yo, I don't even want to talk about the church because that's going to send a hot block commander on a whole tirade about churches. So we should really move on because
I got one thing about Blake Griffin, though. I got a question about Blake Griffin.
Okay.
I'm posing this question to you guys. What does he have against the rim? Dude, seriously, it seems like the rim may have, like, Delonte'd his mother or something. And
yeah,
you know, every time he goes to dunk, it seems like he's trying to rip the rim off of the breakaway.
He looked like a young
the
Sean
one
Kemp.
John, he had a joint where he dunked on somebody. I swear to you, I'm not lying. The only time I've ever seen this before was Mike. He got the body contact, and then he went higher.
Yo,
I don't want to like this dude. I was all set to hate on him.
Yo, the Intercontinental Champion is a beast, yo. He does dunk with an attitude, yo.
Yeah.
He definitely does that. Yo, next topic in NBA. We had a conversation on our Facebook page, and for those of you listening on the podcast or live, facebook.com/warroomsports, we always argue on there. But we were talking about the best point guard in the league. Our baseball contributor, Mr. Brent Easley, was telling me that he believed that CP3 was better than Deron Williams, and I disagree. Now, I do say they're number one and two, but, again, I think Deron is number one.
He proved it again last night. I said, or they can even be 1A and 1B if people want to take it that far, but I'm a Deron Williams fan. I'm a Chris Paul fan too. I think Deron is the number one. When they go head to head, it's not even a question. And they went head to head again last night.
And Deron shoot him apart.
Flooded him again last night, yeah.
Darren Deron, whatever, yo, he, whatever his name is, he is the heavyweight mulatto champion in the NBA. Yo, because this dude is literally in. Go ahead.
Last night, Chris Paul had, in 35, almost 36 minutes, he had 17 points, 9 assists. That's really all to speak of. Darren had 26 points, 11 assists, and 5 steals. And the Jazz got the win by a score of 105-87. So
CP3
owes him one.
I'm sure that I can think of a player or other players that have absolutely no holes in their game. But right offhand, there's only Kobe and Deron, man. Deron really, his game is holeless. I mean, he's 6'3", 6'4", and to reach out, I recall the argument that you guys were having. And I'm a very big Chris Paul fan. So I always hit people with, I mean, for right now, y'all must have forgot. But I will go with Deron being number one, and here's why I say that. We brought up on the thread on Facebook, www.facebook.com/warroomsports, that the size factor comes into play, no rainbow. They can do the same things. Chris Paul may be a little bit better passer, but dude, that's not to take anything away from Deron's passing. But Deron is 6'3", maybe 6'4", which means he can play the one and the two and offensively, but more importantly, on defense, he doesn't really have a position. He's just a guard. He can guard your one or your two. So
it's three if he's a smaller three.
Huh?
Yeah. I said, and a three if he's a smaller three. If you got like a
yeah,
six,
so,
six, six,
so
seven,
that's,
three,
that's
he
my
may be
reason
able.
For really going with, if I was going to start a team and I'm a draft, I got to go with Deron. I got to go with size, no rainbow.
So let's take it down a notch because people generally think that three and four is automatically between Rondo and Rose. Who are you taking between Rondo and Rose?
Yo,
again,
I'm going to give you my opinion real quick. I actually agree with one of our co-hosts, Dr. Bayon, who's with his family now. Shout out to Dr. Bayon. I agree with what he says. He says that the argument between Rondo and Rose is depending upon what kind of team you already have. If you have scorers on your team, then you take Rondo because he's the ultimate playmaker. But if you're building a team from scratch and you need a point guard, you gotta go with D. Rose. And I totally agree with that because Rondo still has no jump shot.
Yo, his jump shot is broke.
That joint is horrible.
Yeah, I'm away in. And again, this is another situation where my objectivity takes the better of me because I have truly become a Rondo supporter. I like the dude a lot, man. I really do. I like him.
No rainbow.
No rainbow. Probably more than Rose, but Rose is winning me over as well.
Yeah, I've been.
And Rose has things that you cannot teach. The level of athleticism, the level of primate. I mean, if you really watch Rose, you will know that they go to the zoo to pick that young man up before the game. He doesn't have an apartment. He doesn't have an apartment or a home. They go straight to the zoo and get him out the cage because his athleticism makes it impossible for smaller, less athletic guards to check him. I mean, I watched them play the Suns yesterday, and it was a joke. Like, Steve Nash guarding him is a joke.
Yeah,
Steve
look,
Nash
well,
guarding
before,
Derrick Rose.
Before I make my point, let me throw that number out there. If anybody want to call in and join in on the conversation about NBA talk, you can do that. The number is 323-410-0012. Press 1 to raise your hand, and we will call on you. If you're already on the line listening and you want to talk, just press 1, and we'll get you on. Yeah, Rose, I've been watching him lately as well because this argument keeps coming up. And it is about what you need and what, you know, what you want on your team because Rose is more of a scoring guard, but he can pass the ball,
He's having like 8 dimes, ain't he?
Yeah, what he can do and I'm not saying Rondo can't, but this, it's not really his thing to do this all the time, but Rose can get to the cup anytime he feels like he wants to get to the cup. And when he gets there, the height of the body control against the rim, too. Yeah,
yes,
and the body control that he shoots his layups with is crazy. Dude is I would take Rondo if we're just talking strictly point guard. I think Rondo is a better point guard. I think Rose may be a better player. Rondo's a better defender, better passer. Yeah, but the same thing, even when you say pure point guard, somewhere in there a pure point guard has to have a jump shot. So Rondo is almost pure.
Yo, Rondo can't even shoot foul shots, yo.
That's a big issue for me. Yeah.
Yo, how are you gonna be a point guard at the end of the game and they're gonna intentionally foul a point guard? Like, yo, where they do that at? They intentionally foul a point guard.
Hack a Rondo. Treating the dude like he Dwight or Shaq.
Yo, speaking of, you saw Shaq had 25 and 11 yesterday.
Yeah, so what?
Shaq, yeah. Real quick though, a couple more things I wanna get to real fast about the NBA. Eric Dampier, they released that count and signed Dampier, the Miami Lukewarms did. What do you think about that?
So what?
For who?
Anyway. Another thing real quick about, last thing I want to talk about the NBA is, like, really, this really pissed me off, right? We've already seen that Dev talked about how the Detroit Lions are playing on Thanksgiving. So the NBA wants to give us a couple of games. So they give us the Wizards and the Hawks and the Kings and the Clippers.
Seriously? Yeah.
The microphone versus the layup king. The layup king is nice, man. Tariq Evans, shout out to the
after
crib.
After eating, Brett, after eating turkey and all that stuff, man, who's going to be up at 10:30? That's not on the West Coast.
Yo, I'm not. Yo, I got the itis right now, right? I'm half asleep doing this phone call. Yo, real talk, they could have came better than that, though. Yo, they could have came better than that.
Yeah.
Pause.
Yeah. But,
yeah, no rainbow.
A lot of people want us to briefly touch on the whole Riley situation, because Coach Spo is just getting tossed under the bus by everybody, you know.
He's getting tossed under the bench.
First LeBron took the shot about the minutes. Then Chris Bosh talking about, you know, they want to chill. He wants to work. Then Phil Jackson came at him. How long do y'all think it'll be before Riley is back on that bench? They're what, 8-7 right now?
Yep.
Yeah.
How long is it going to take before Riley takes the job?
I get sick and tired of these overpaid professional athletes blaming their coach. For instance, like the Cowboys. How all of a sudden are the Cowboys like playing better football when they make a coaching change with the same players, yet the guy who's their new coach has been their offensive coordinator? Like, what part of the game is that?
He's the same dude been calling them plays.
Yo, but I'm starting to think it's a conspiracy, because, not to jump ahead, but this jabroni is now running the ball more than he did when he was just offensive coordinator. Why couldn't you do that for your last coach, you noodle?
He wanted that job. Anyway. All I got to say, Dev, is one player said, "Stop, you're playing me too many minutes. I'm getting tired." And another player said, "Yo, coach works us so hard. I don't want to work this hard. We work too hard to play this game. We're working too hard."
But you know what, though? Yeah. With that being said, do you think they would say that to Riley?
No, they won't say it in his face. They're not going to say that to Coach Riley. And I'm saying that
Riley
would probably end up taking over.
The Miami Heat beat Phil Jackson.
Do you remember the first time he did that when they had Dwayne Wade and Shaq? He took the team over when they were 11-10. So we're hovering around it. Right now they're 8-7. They could easily be in the same neighborhood.
It's going to happen before December 31st or not at all.
Yeah.
Yo, my thing is, I would love to see Phil Jackson get his hands on these jabronis.
Yeah.
All I know is
on Christmas.
We're playing too many minutes and we're working.
Yo, that might not be as bad as we want to chill, but coach wants us to work harder.
Speaking of, man, been playing better though. Bosh been averaging 25 and 11 over the last 4 or 5 games. I mean,
Christina is still soft.
So what?
Christina's still soft. Anyway, let's move on real quick. I want to talk some football. Before we talk football, let me just say a couple things real quick. You can check us out on our website at www.warroomsports.com. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or if you want to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. If you'd like to send an email to one of the hosts personally, all of our individual email addresses are also there on the page. And believe me, I know they are because people email me and call me a hater all the time. So keep that coming.
No rainbow. Hate mail.
Become a fan of ours on Facebook at facebook.com/warroomsports. That's important because that's where we argue during the week in between shows. We argue about everything sports, things not sports. We talk dirty about Tyler Perry. Anyway, you can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/warroomsports. Subscribe to and become a fan of our YouTube channel at warroomsportstv.com, the greatest videos ever. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. You can join the chat room right now during the show at www.blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To get into the chat room, just sign in for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter account. And while you're at it, follow us, friend us, favorite us, do all that. Just make the War Room as part of your internet experience. So we're all over the internet. You can just Google War Room Sports and you'll find us that way as well. At any rate, we're going to be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, the chat room every week during the show. So just know that when you say something in the chat room on Facebook and Twitter, we may use it on air. Anyway, also check out our blog. We have a blog tab on our website, warroomsports.com. We have a lot of different articles we write, you know. But also subscribe to our iTunes podcast so you can listen to the show anytime on your own device. So you can take us with us everywhere. You can listen to the War Room on the bus. You can listen to the War Room walking down the street, in your car, at work, wherever you want to. You can always take us with you.
Sitting
call
on
and
the
speak
throne
with the
host, after Turkey Day?
Yeah, absolutely. You can. Well, yeah, while you're sitting on the throne after having your turkey, you can listen to the War Room. To call and speak with us, dial 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. Press the 1 is like raising your hand, and who knows, we might call on you to get you on air. If you got some thoughts about anything we're talking about, you could do that. Now, in terms
of
the chat room.
Hold on. Before y'all get to that, if you calling in to listen from your throne, don't press 1 because we don't want to hear you on the air. So,
ah!
So you can listen, but don't call in if you're on the throne.
Right? Yo, real quick, I know my man Gray Man is still holding on. Want to hear us talk about Favre? So before we jump into the NFL talk, let's go over number 2 Thanksgiving Day game moment that we could talk some. Let's talk about the Steelers and Lions. The Steelers and Lions played in 1998 when the Lions won 19-16 in overtime. The Steelers and Lions captains went into the middle of the field for the overtime coin toss when one of the craziest instances in NFL history occurred. Since the Steelers were the visiting team, they got the call to toss. Referee Phil Luckett asked the Steelers running back Jerome Bettis to call in the air, and Bettis apparently called tails. But Luckett said Bettis called heads, and when the coin landed tails,
yeah.
I don't know if you guys remember this, but it was funny, like, when you watch the replay and you see this. We awarded the ball, you know, to the Lions. Luckett claimed that Bettis said heads, tails, and went with the first call, according to NFL rules. But when you listen to the audio picked up, Bettis just called tails, but the ball still went to the Lions. Detroit immediately drove the ball downfield and hit a game-winning field goal, 42 yards, by Jason Hansen, who, in my opinion, was the best player in the Lions for, like, the last 10 years. So, you know, that's another reason why he shouldn't come on our TV during our Thanksgiving.
Yo,
but anyway, that was a crazy game.
Luckett. was a Lions fan. They need to check and see where that dude is from. There had to be something crazy going on with that. He said the dude called head tails.
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah, that was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, head tails.
Yo, head tails.
Well, yeah, that was crazy. Anyway, man, let's talk some football real quick. I know that the homie Gray Man wants to hear about Favre. So, you know, Dev, start off with some football talk.
All right, Gray Man. We're going to get to Favre in a minute. You get to hear Jimmy bash Favre in a minute. But we're going to recap the earlier game, Patriots versus Lions. Guys, what do you think about that game? You know how I feel because I already said it in my Past the Rock segment. I really don't know why Detroit, you know, this tradition has been going on for like 70-plus years. They were actually competitive in the first half, but it kind of seemed like they forgot that the game had a second half to it. So they came out like they didn't realize
they had some,
the football
they had some turkey during halftime.
Yeah.
Yo, my thought is, I think that honestly, like, I don't believe in like a lot of the nonsense like superstitions and luck or what have you, but yo, Detroit has to be the most they get talent on their team and they still find a way to lose. Like,
yeah.
It's like if you take that game and you switch teams, like, and just, like, it doesn't matter who you put in a Detroit uniform, they're going to find a way to lose. They're like snake bit. But
that
young man.
I was on Facebook on Ball Control's page, and they had posted how the Detroit Lions are giving the Patriots a run for their money, and I told them, like, they're going to find a way to lose. So about 15, 20 minutes later, I just went back and typed C.
Yeah.
They were down, like, 45 to...
Yo, I don't know what it is about that team. Like, they're just unlucky. Like, yo, real talk. You could take the whole Patriots team and put them in Lions jerseys, and the Patriots would win with the – yo, all you do is switch jerseys and another team would have – like, yo, it's just crazy. They're unlucky. Yo, but I tell you one thing. That young man they got on the defensive line, that young man they got on the defensive line is a star.
Dominate Sue. Indomitian Dominator Sue.
Yeah,
he is a joy and a pleasure to observe playing the game of American football.
Hey, but I don't know if y'all noticed, but my two picks, well, not picks, but who I was saying were the defensive rookie of the year and the runner-up, they both kind of balled out today. Devin McCourty had two picks, I believe.
Yeah, he did.
Speaking of, you see what a good quarterback can do for you? Because I thought Deion Branch was dead. And ever since he scores he scores like
I thought Deion Branch got, like, deported. I thought he got deported back to, like, Miami. Cause yeah, Miami, they got their own culture and country down there. I thought he got deported or something. Cause he disappeared. He got back with Mr. Brady, and now all of a sudden he's balling again, yo.
Yeah, he scores like twice a game now.
He's gonna be the comeback. He's gonna be the comeback player of the century. I drank the Kool-Aid on this game, and I really thought that the Lions were going to give him a run.
Shame on you,
because they have so much talent, and I think the Lions are what everybody builds the Cowboys to be, which is an uber-talented team.
Talented trash.
Just haven't put it all together, because if you look position for position on that defense, except for the secondary, their D-line is playoff caliber. Their linebackers are good. I think they have a decent safety. Their corners are trash. Megatron at the wide out.
That is the problem. You just named the problem right there. Their secondary is dreadful.
Yeah, their secondary.
Yo, not only can they not cover.
It's deplorable.
Especially the dude.
Every bad adjective.
Not only can they not cover,
they
can't tackle. They can't tackle either.
Yeah, tackling. Nobody in the NFL knows how to tackle. That's not cool to tackle.
I agree with that.
Except for the Ravens, no one tackles. Tackling's not cool.
Yeah, it's a mental thing with the Lions, though. Like you said, they have all the talent in the world, but then when it comes down to it, they just do stupid things. They're like,
Javid,
mentally, they're
Javid
on the level.
Best. Javid Best is the truth. I have seen
he
you
got
throw,
turf
though,
toe.
Devin. I've seen
he
you
got
throw.
Turf toe.
I've seen you throw, and your arm is stronger than Sean Hill's.
Yo, but
Sean Hill
hasn't been playing bad. Yo, it's just
no,
that,
he hasn't.
No, I don't know.
No, he hasn't.
It's something about their team. Like, it's like they in the middle of the game, they say, you know what, we're the Lions. What are we doing competing?
You know, mentally, they're on the same level as this dude.
Yeah, you might see me all blue, all red, every day. I'm 50 Tyson.
Yeah.
Right,
yo,
yeah,
they're 50, the 50 Tysons of the NFL, yo.
Shout out to 50 Tyson. That's my dude, man.
Yeah,
yo,
yeah.
Shout out to the Autistic Society and getting it together for autism, man.
Yo, another thing, real quick, this Cowboys Saints game going on. Like, I don't know how much I'm watching the game right now as we're on here, and you know, the Cowboys are fighting back, you know. But my whole opinion of the Cowboys is like, yo, Jason Garrett, like, is calling real plays now. He pulled the real playbook out because he started the season with a fake playbook. Because all of a sudden they're like, you know, running the ball, they have new pass play. Like, where was this at before? That's all I want to know.
Yeah, because they were even down.
Wanted that job.
17, they were down 17-3 in this game, and is it still 23-20 at the moment?
Yeah, I'm like, yo, is it a conspiracy? The homie wants a job that bad that he, like, you know, literally, like, you know, got his other coach fired? Yo, they were running the ball approximately 21 times a game under Phillips. Now it's between 29 and 30 run attempts now that he's been the coach.
Yo,
but the thing is, you had full control over the offense before, so where is this coming from?
Most 215 in the chat room said the Lions are the best one-quarter team in football, and they're an example of what we'll see if there's a lockout next season.
Yo,
Yo, that's funny. But, yo, real talk, where is this at, though? Like, why is he, like, now running the team, running the offense, so to speak, in a whole different manner than he was before? They're taking control. They're taking good care of the ball, and they're running the ball a lot more, which a lot of people call for.
It's a conspiracy. But since that game's still going on, maybe
let me say this, and this is unpopular. I even had a conversation with myself about this. Yeah, I'm crazy. You know, I said, so, let's keep it 100 here. The Cowboys do have some talent, and from what I saw, the way that they were losing games were based on it was based on the lack of discipline. Yo, they are so penalized in crucial moments and so undisciplined in crucial sections of the game that they shoot themselves in the foot 7 times out of 10. So now you have the discipline is one factor, and then I do think they're overrated in terms of talent. They are talented. They do have some talent, but they're a little overrated, and their offensive line was playing horrendous
Dev made a comment the other last week that I agree with. He said everybody in the NFL has talent. So it's just a matter of, like, you know, coaching that talent up and putting them in the right position to make plays. As we speak, they just had the craziest punt you'll see ever in NFL history. the guy snapped the ball. The punter dropped it. It bounced on the ground. On the bounce up, he kicked it out of the air.
Yo.
So that's the greatest punt in the history of the league. But yo, real quick, though.
No, second greatest punt. Randall Cunningham owns the greatest punt in the history of the league.
Oh, yeah, I apologize. You are right about that. My fault. Shout out to Randall Cunningham and everybody rocking the Jerry Curl. But, yo,
let's take it up
real quick.
Oh, go ahead.
What I was saying is, in terms of what you're saying, in terms of them being penalized and all that, I totally agree with it. But it also looks to me that he's changed their entire offensive philosophy, which helps the offensive line. Because their offensive line played well last year, but these guys are old. They're not young. So they got a lot older. But now he helps them by running the ball more. Like, he's pounding a rock more in the rainbow. So why didn't he do this before?
Maybe he feels like he has to run the ball with Kitna, as opposed to relying on Tony Romo's arm.
Yeah, but even with a quarterback as good as Tony Romo, if you mix it up a little bit, then you probably have better results even than you're having now.
Yeah, I could say the same thing for our situation with Andy Reid. I mean, offensive guys get caught up in gadgets, and a good quarterback is a gadget, and they like playing with the gadget. Pause. And it's like when you have Tony Romo, you're tempted, and I guess he succumbed to that temptation to drop back 30, 40, even 50 times a game, as opposed to having that run-pass balance that we know really brings about success. When you have Kitna, because of his age alone, because Kitna was a gunslinger at one point, but because of his age at this point, you know that you don't want him dropping back 40 times. You know that you don't want to rely on his arm.
But here's the thing. Be awesome. They had Kitna for a couple plays with Phillips, and he still was chucking the ball up every damn down.
Yeah.
Yo, I'm telling you, it's something, too. I think the homie wanted the job. Old habits die hard.
That's why they sacrifice. If that's the case, then they sacrificed a playoff berth so he can go ahead and get the job. But we could take it down the
playoffs? Line. Don't talk about playoffs.
We could take it up to New York. Are the Jets the team to beat? It kind of seemed like Sanchez is coming into his own a little bit, because my thoughts of him in the beginning of the season were he was going to be the reason that the Jets didn't accomplish their goals this year. But in the last 2 weeks, he's kind of shown, you know, some mental prowess in the fourth quarter and overtime of games.
Yeah.
What do y'all think about that?
Yes.
Go ahead, Austin. You got it.
I'll give credit where credit is due. He is showing some growth. I still think the ball is way overrated. I don't say way over. I think he is overrated.
I don't think he's overrated. It's not because I'm not saying he's great. I just don't hear anybody saying he's great. So how is he overrated?
Right.
Everybody was saying that he's the reason.
Oh,
you're still talking about
USC.
Coming out. Everybody's
yeah,
overrated.
Coming out of USC. I think he was overrated. Now, when we look at what he has in terms of weapons, Braylon Edwards, I grudgingly say that he's good. I don't know whether I believe that, but we'll say he's good. Santonio Holmes.
Hey, Jimmy, he having another conversation with himself.
I argue with myself over that. That's what I argue. Santonio is definitely by far a top-notch number one receiver. And then you've got his crutch. All bad quarterbacks rely on that tight end. And Dustin Keller gets the rock. And then you've got the great Dane. So he's got a lot of weapons and a lot of tools on that offense. And I think that he's gaining some confidence. And let's not discount the value of confidence. When somebody has their confidence up, it does step their game up. The one thing that surprises me about the Jets, though, this year, is you can pass on them. And that's surprising. I'm surprised by that. And it's not just Cromartie, because we all know Cromartie's overrated. But people are throwing the ball at Revis. How much does
Revis is average, though. That's because Revis is average. But, yo,
I was just telling somebody the other day, that may be another product of all of us in society and in the sports media anointing a dude too fast.
Okay.
He did it for one great season, and we all gave him, he's Revis Allen. He's the best corner in the league. Now this year,
I think he was on the level before last year, though. Actually, he just didn't get.
But here's my thing:
year was the year when he just shut down every top-notch receiver that came his way. Like nobody.
Yeah, last year is when he made up the whole Revis Island nonsense. But real quick though, back to Sanchez. I think that part of the problem with him is they were so afraid to let him play ball. They would run the ball 86 times a game, then get down and say, hey, now you got to pass it.
Interception.
I think that the offensive coordinator is doing a better job of, calling plays and managing the game and putting him in good positions to make plays.
That's what I think, too. I think Little Shot, because isn't that Schottenheimer's son over there?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Little Shot didn't trust
Mike Schottenheimer.
Sanchez. I think he's starting to trust him a little more. Let him open up the offense.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So you're giving him a chance. Like before, he wasn't even given a chance. It was like, just hand the ball off. Last year in the playoff run, those cats used to have like 72 runs a game. They wouldn't even pass the ball.
Well, look, since we're on that, we could just first let me give out this number again. If anybody want to call in, talk to some NFL, that number is 323-410-0012. You can call in, press 1. We'll get you on the line. If you're already on the line, just press 1, and we'll get to you. Since we're already on the Jets, let's just stay on that that game tonight at 8 o'clock, I believe, on NFL Network. The Jets will be hosting the Bengals. So, you know, I watched the T.O. Joe show the other day. There's a lot of trash talking going on because Revis also called T.O. a slouch last year. So now T.O. is calling Revis an average corner, and the trash talking is just getting – it's getting out of control. I'm actually kind of looking forward to watching this game, even though the Cincinnati Bengals stink like trash truck juice.
Jimmy. Well, I mean, honestly, it's going to be perfect honesty with you. Only reason I care is because I got a couple cats going fantasy-wise.
Yeah, me too.
And I need Brilliant to put some numbers up for me.
I need Ocho to stop stinking and do something.
Ocho Stinko. Yo,
and
but in terms of them trash talking, like, these dudes, man, like, I don't know what to say about that. He called T.O. a slouch. He calls him average, blah, blah, blah. My whole thing is shut up and play ball. Like, I do like a little bit of trash talking, but when it gets to the media and you start, like, calling names, like, come on, man, play ball. And get creative with your trash talking. You're a slouch. You're average. Like, dog, get creative with it or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's whack.
Say something.
All I know is just like Chris Paul is telling people y'all must have forgot, so is T.O. Y'all must have forgot. That dude is on pace for a 1,200-yard season and record.
Yet.
Yo, he had six straight 100-yard games.
This is another example, of what we said earlier when we were talking about Deion Branch. Even though T.O. is – he's not Deion Branch. T.O. is T.O. But at the same time, when T.O. was on the Bills with –
oh,
with nobody throwing to him.
And you know what?
We forgot
T.O. was
in the
league. I don't even put that on Edwards, because if you remember that line that David Carr had on the commercial back in like 2002.
Yeah, I remember that.
They had the same line player for player in Buffalo.
Edwards,
and also,
I don't even know whether Edwards is garbage. He got a few chances.
Don't discount the fact that also he has Ocho on the other side. So it's like they complement each other. When you have two receivers like that, you know, it helps him put the numbers up.
If you're looking at film, if you're looking at film this season, Jimmy, I'm rolling the coverage towards T.O. You best believe with the numbers he's putting
I get what you're saying. I definitely do. But then when you look like a couple weeks ago, they started to do that. And what happened? Ocho came out and killed them. The week before last, Ocho put up a big numbers because they started rolling all the coverage towards T.O.
Yeah, but it was one
so
it was
he's
one
game.
Number. It was one game. Overall this season, Chad is really disappointed, man. I'm hurt about what Esteban is doing, while on the other side, now you have the detractors saying, well, it doesn't translate into wins, but we know that football is a 53-man sport. So even if T.O. is giving his best, you know, what can you do if the other, you know, if the other players aren't
showing
up? Yeah,
I mean, I'm disappointed in the way he's been acting in terms of crying and whining, but when you watch the game and look at the film of them playing, it absolutely is the fact that T.O. has been getting attention. When it's like they've been, in the beginning of the season, they were doubling Chad and rolling the safety to his side, and T.O. was killing them. So now it's like pick your poison. Their defense can't stop anybody, so it doesn't matter how many points.
The people need to start rolling the coverage over to T.O. because I need points. But that's
yo, so the thing
Jim,
is, like,
is
they
that
do,
a call on you, the digital extreme, or is that your
No, that's no call. That's not a call there. No, that's not a call. But with that being said, you know, it's like they help each other. When you have two receivers that play, you know, that's pretty much what happens there. But at the same time, why are we spending so much time talking about the Bengals?
Yeah, true. But listen,
good point. Who
wins that game tonight, and by what score, Jimmy?
Ooh, let me see. 24-17 Jets.
B. Austin, who wins that? What score?
Should I go with the upset special?
The Bengals over the Jets? Yo, it's going to be interesting to watch, though, with Revis and Cromartie versus the Batman and Robin, as they call themselves.
I'm going with the Super Friends, man.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to go with
score?
The Super Friends. 27-21. Super.
All right, speaking of, we don't want to spend too much more time on the Bengals, but did y'all see in the Bills game last week when the receiver scored and he pulled up his shirt and written on his T-shirt was, "Why so serious?"
Yeah, Steve Johnson.
He hit him with the Joker line since they
supposed Joker
to be Batman and Robin. Very creative. And they actually gave him props on the T.O. Cho show. And
yeah.
I know a lot of people out there are asking, why the hell has he watched the T.O. Cho show?
Yeah,
yo, my
I
thing
am.
Is, yo, beyond that, can any of you tell me why Steve Johnson showed up to the press conference after the game the way he did?
Yo, can any of y'all tell me why Steve Johnson has more tattoos than a homemade Samoan?
Yo!
Just a homemade Samoan.
I don't
why
know.
Why does Steve
I'm
Johnson
just,
come
all
to
I'm,
the press
all
conference
I'm here
like
to do
that,
is
yo?
Make you dance and make you laugh. Why does he have an earring in his face?
Yo, why does Steve Johnson? Fail. Yo, he's trying to get an NFL dress code. That's what he's trying to do.
Throw a flag on that epic fail.
Flag him.
But look,
he is he's an articulate young man. Though he didn't embarrass us like say Chris Johnson did down in
Poppy.
Yo, that's because Chris Johnson only speaks Floridian. Like, yo, he should get deported back to Miami as well. Like, he doesn't speak English. He speaks Floridian. Yo, let's talk about something else, Dad. What you want to talk about? Because we need to stop talking about these bums.
I want to talk about the Eagles-Giants game briefly from last week. Michael Vick kind of came back down to earth. The funny thing is, though, you know, because I'm scanning Facebook throughout the game, right? It doesn't matter what he does or what he doesn't do. The support is crazy now, and it's unwavering. There was a play when the Eagles were down because of, you know, Mike Vick had fumbled and they scored, took the lead for the first time. McCoy ran a 50-yard touchdown, shook the linebacker, you know, after Vick bobbled the snap, got the pitch to him. He ran 50 yards for a touchdown, and everybody on Facebook was saying, yeah, Mike Vick, way to get the bobble and get the ball to him. Yo, no props for the dude running 50 yards? Like, really?
Yeah,
if
they filed
the
for that,
in
y'all.
The first place, then there wouldn't have been a bobble to catch. But, you know, he still he played well enough to help the Eagles get over the hump in that game. It definitely wasn't the out-of-this-world performance that we saw the week before. And nobody should have expected the same kind of performance, and especially against the Giants' defense. I really think that's the first major defense that he's faced so far this year. And I'm not going to say he regressed back to the old Vic, but he did show that, you know, when somebody has a pretty good game plan, it's not going to be cake like it was the last few weeks.
Let me weigh in as we're the two resident Eagles aficionados. Kudos to Michael Vick. He's had a wonderful season. I think that he has now earned the starting spot over Kevin Cobb, although at this point I feel we have a great problem with having two decent or quality starters. That game, Mike Vick regressed back to Ron Mexico for about a quarter and a half. We saw Ron Mexico. I'm telling you, like, the secret to Mike Vick is blitz him from the right side of the defensive line heavy, put the pressure on, make him roll right, and he's ineffective. He's not going to throw. He's going to try and look down the field instead of taking off and getting on his horse, and he's unable to do it. A quarter and a half, he was totally ineffective. And I think that
Did you see how they broke the rush from his left side?
Yeah,
made him roll right where he can't throw the ball. Yeah,
it doesn't bode well for us. Why? Because good teams have that on film now. And guess what they're doing? Studying. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about the teams we're supposed to beat. I'm talking about all the teams that we'll have to face on the road to the Super Bowl that the Kool-Aid drinkers are talking about we're going to be in now. And I think we're doing a disservice.
On that road, you would probably have to play the Giants two more times.
Right, and I'm not convinced that we beat the Giants as much as they beat themselves. And if we did beat them, it had to do with everything with LeSean McCoy having 11 carries and averaging 9.8 yards a carry, as opposed to just Michael Vick doing anything spectacular. And it really pains me. And the defense balled out. And that's my biggest problem with uneducated fans is. It's a 53-man roster. It's 11 starters on offense, 11 starters on defense. But because the quarterback position is so romanticized, that's all these dudes see. And especially the black protectionists, with Michael Vick being in the situation he is and what he represents, yo, the defense did that. Yo, the defense made plays. No one said anything. LeSean McCoy made plays. No one said anything.
There were plays during the game where they slowed it down and counted where the offensive line on two different plays gave Mike Vick 8 seconds to throw. You don't get 8 seconds in the NFL. That's not possible.
All I want to say, I just want to weigh in briefly about that. Like, the black protectionism on Michael Vick is going to be higher than Donovan McNabb considering the situation that he went through. With that being said, the one thing I can say about having to face the Giants a couple times is the Giants always beat themselves, so that may not be an issue. Ahmad Bradshaw was out there working on his handle, looking like he wants to play for the New Jersey Nets. And, you know, Eli Manning fumbled the ball without being touched. So the Giants find a way to lose games as well.
After making a great play.
Yeah, he made a great play and then fumbled with nobody touching him. So, you know,
to buttress your point, too, about that, Jimmy, with the Giants beating themselves, they turned the ball over four times that game. I don't care if that was the Lions would have won that game. You don't turn the ball over four times and win. So
yeah.
Kudos to our defense, man.
Yeah, and real quick, though, while we were on, making this this show here, the Cowboys have come back and are now winning 27-23 with 4 minutes left, and they just forced the Saints to punt. So the Cowboys are coming through. But real quick, in reference to that Eagles game, I've been, like, you know, watching a lot of the media, listening to a lot of the sports talk, and I hear people saying that the Vegas numbers right now actually favor the Eagles and the Steelers as the two teams that are favored to make it to the Super Bowl. Now, that changes big.
That's when the Eagles don't you know, live up to their billing when people start noticing them and people start paying attention to them. I hate that. I hate when people start jumping on the Eagles bandwagon because that's when you know it's over.
But it's
that's
funny.
When Philly
Here's
fans
the funny
know
thing.
It's over.
Here's the funny thing real quick. I just want to make one quick point. I started thinking about this, right? If they say this was to come true and all the odds came true. Say the Eagles and the Steelers actually made it to the Super Bowl. What kind of marketing would the NFL put when you have Ben Roethlisberger and Michael Vick as the two Super Bowl quarterbacks? I started thinking about that. I said, you know what? If that were to happen, they should make it real interesting and just let, like, ESPN just should hire, like, Inez Zines to, like, do all their reporting. And then they should let Jen Sturger be a cheerleader just to make it very interesting.
Mr. We've got the battle of Mr. Touchy Feely versus the dog catcher.
Yo, could you imagine that, though?
Well, listen. We're going to go into – I hope Gray Man is still here because we're going to go into
Gray
that
Man is still
Vikings.
There. Shout out to Gray Man.
We're going to that Vikings topic because they had a busy week. You know, they're the second team to fire their head coach after getting the brakes beat off of them by the Packers. First it happened to the Cowboys. Now it happened to the Vikings. And, of course, everybody knows that Chile finally got fired and they promoted Leslie Frazier to defensive coordinator. But did you guys – noticed some things that were happening in that game on Sunday. Here's a few points of what happened during that game. First, Favre was arguing with one of the coaches and actually walking away from the coach while the coach was trying to talk. I think the coach was Darrell Bevell. He's either the quarterback's coach, offensive coordinator, one of those guys. This is right after Favre threw a pick. And by the way, for the season, Favre has 10 touchdowns, 17 interceptions, and 10 of those picks have come in the last five games, of which they've lost all five. So I know that's Jimmy back there. So that's one thing. Favre walking away from his coaches when they're trying to tell him what he did wrong on the pick. Something else which is totally irrelevant to their attitude that day, Kevin Williams' name was spelled wrong on the back of his jersey, so now they're just the clowns of the league. Ray Edwards yells at the defensive back that gave up the touchdown to Greg Jennings, and the dude was yelling back to him, F you, ninja, you kitty cat, ascot ninja. Like, what's wrong with the team? Like, they're falling apart. They're fighting each other. They're not listening to coaches. Childress is getting fired. Jimmy, what happened to the Vikings?
Yo,
tell Gray Man what's happening to the Vikings.
Shout out to Gray Man for hanging with us. But first off, shout out to my man Chili. I hope he gets a job just based upon the fact that I love hearing the nickname Chili throughout the media because it's hilarious. That a grown man nicknamed is Chili. So shout out to Chili. I think Chili is actually lucky this week. He doesn't deal with those bunch of ingrates. These guys are professionals that are getting paid to play the game, and they're acting like a bunch of imbeciles. So, you know, Chili actually got a favor done by letting him get out of that situation, those bums. And in terms of his quarterback, that prima donna diva, Brett Favre, who is the most overrated player in the history of team sports, who's a turnover – as a matter of fact, Favre is Australian for turnover. This dude, whether he's throwing picks, he's fumbling the ball, he is a turnover waiting to happen. The problem with Chile is if Chile would have cut ties with Favre, he would still have his job, really, if you really think about it, because by bringing Favre back, the expectation was Super Bowl because they almost made it last year until Favre realized that he was close to playing in the Super Bowl and didn't want to get embarrassed on Super Bowl Sunday, so he decided to throw an interception that day to lose the game, the bum. But think about it. If he would have went to Tavares, right? Not saying Tavares is the answer, but if he would have went to Tavares, the expectations would have been a little bit lower. So it wouldn't have been the situation in which we currently have with people cussing at each other and acting a fool. I mean, these guys are like, you know, they should be ashamed of themselves. But in terms of Favre, Gray Man, I agree with you. Favre is a disgrace. He's an embarrassment to all the great quarterbacks that have played this game. He's an embarrassment to his family. He's an embarrassment to the young ladies he likes to send text messages to. He's an embarrassment to the jeans that he wears. He is a bum. He should be fired. He should be right with you. As a matter of fact, Chili should be sending him text messages of his junk, you know, for getting him fired. That bum. Be awesome. I'll let you talk because I don't even want to keep going on this dude.
Yo. What's wrong with you guys?
Men lie, women lie, Jimmy lies, numbers don't.
Numbers lie. 15, come on, man. Don't start using the lemming lines.
15,
we don't do that here.
15 seasons of 20 or more touchdowns.
Wait, how many seasons of 20 or more interceptions?
Hey, hold on. B. Austin. You know, I've been a Favre fan for all of his career. I just got to stop you for a minute. Since when do we use the lemming line? I'm a little upset about that. When do we use the lemming line?
Brad is using that line. That means you lost already. When you start losing that line,
passes.
You know numbers fib all over the place at all given moments in any given time.
To garbage
go
Jackson.
You're saying, just don't use the lemming line.
To garbage Jackson as your option at quarterback. To garbage can't read a book, let alone a defense or a coverage. How much better are they doing?
How much better are they doing with this Jabroni playing now than they would be?
Well,
what's the difference? They have three wins.
Hold on, Jimmy. Now, what you said was you saw players on defense arguing with one another. You saw disrespect towards the coaching. Let me start with Chili to begin with. When you go from the head coach to a chauffeur, then you go to being a gopher. And when you're the head coach and you're a gopher, even though you're in Minnesota, yeah, that's a nope. That's a nope right there. So he disrespected himself. You know, he set the tone with Brett Favre. Yo, you don't go pick Brett Favre up from the airport. Chili started catering to this dude, and he lost the respect of his players in the locker room. I think Brett Favre has done a lot to contribute to where this ship is right now. He's had the worst season of his career this year. He definitely should have retired. He shouldn't have came back.
Hold up, Brad.
Brett Favre had the worst career in 2005.
Listen, though, Jimmy. He said that he was catering to. He definitely was, but I think he was company catering to that dude. Because when he started to stand up to Favre, that's when all his trouble started. I think the team was behind Favre. I don't think he lost the locker room because he catered to Favre. I think he lost the locker room because he started to stand up to Favre.
My question is, as a leader and the quarterback of your team, you're challenging your quarterback and your coach in public. Until Favre started going at Chili, nobody else did. Favre is supposed to be a leader of the team, so you need to get them in line. When you start disrespecting your coach in public, everybody else follows what you do, and they start doing the same. He should be ashamed of himself. He did the same thing in Green Bay. After Mike Holmgren left, he was disrespecting their coach. And you know what the coach said? All right, FOH, we got a quarterback. He did the same thing in Green Bay 2005 when he had actually his worst season. He had a worst season. He threw damn near 30 picks. Yo, Brett Favre is a fraud. Yo, you talk about 20 touchdown seasons. How many 20 interceptions? The most 20 interception seasons of any quarterback known to man. The most fumbles of any quarterback known to man. The most fourth quarter interceptions of any quarterback known to man.
Right,
so guess what? I can bring up numbers just like you can that are to the contrary of this guy. He's not even good. Yo, as a matter of fact, you know what? I don't even want to go on him no more. You know what? Because I got so many bad adjectives I can throw at this jabroni.
Well, we got one more big story to get at. So, Brad, you wanna talk about Favre anymore? I can come on here. I can say, because I'm not going to leave you hanging out there by yourself. I've always been a Favre fan. I don't agree with Jimmy when he talks about his whole body of work, but there is nothing I can say to defend that man right now. There's nothing I can say to defend Brett Favre right now.
My issue is not with Jimmy poo-pooing on him for this season, because this season he is playing like poo-poo, as my man Rasheed Wallace would say. He's poo-poo. But to diminish his legacy and his entire body of work, nah. I can't do that.
Well, Jimmy, let's move on. Jimmy, let's move on. We talk about this.
We get to Favre every week, so we'll get to him next week.
Cool.
It's what, 7:53 now? Let's go to like 7:58 with this. Vince Young gets pulled from the game, not pulled from the game for performance. He gets injured, and he comes out of the game. He wants to go back in. Jeff Fisher doesn't put him back in. He throws a sissy little temper tantrum. So after the game, he goes into the locker room, gets dressed real quick, and he's leaving, running out without addressing the coach, without letting the coach address him. His teammates are chasing him out, trying to get him to come back. He doesn't. Bunch of hoopla. Everybody's asking whether he's done in Tennessee, whether Fisher's done in Tennessee, whatever. Yesterday, or was it this morning, I don't know, he texts Fisher an apology. I don't even know if it was from him. Somebody probably picked up his phone because they know the dude acts like he acts. Whatever, Fisher got a text apologizing, and Fisher really doesn't respect the fact that he didn't come to him face-to-face as a man. What do y'all think about Vince Young and the way he handles adversity? Because the protectionists have been out about him this week, too, blaming it on Fisher. Fisher never really messed with the dude like that. He never wants to put him in, and he benched him for Kerry Collins.
Well, I can look at this two ways. For one thing, he needs to like man up and be a man. That's the one thing. But to the protectionist, you know, he's not doing anything different than what Brett Favre did in Green Bay. Not to bring it back to Favre, but Favre did these same type of antics in Green Bay, disrespecting their coach before Green Bay just said, "Hey, look, the hell with you." He did these same things, and you know,
a big thing
wasn't made about it.
Credit though than Vince Young. Favre built up a different line of credit than Vince Young. The coach
that they
had. I understand
that, but how you carry yourself.
More work than, you're right.
Yeah, but my thing is this though: because you win games and you won, doesn't give you a right to go disrespect people. You carry yourself as a professional, whether you're winning ball games or losing. It doesn't excuse
right.
you acting like an idiot. So Vince Young is acting like an idiot, you know. But I was saying this to the protectionists that I understand where they come from because. Certain quarterbacks are allowed to get away with this nonsense, but nonetheless, it's still nonsense, and we should hold everybody to the same standard. You shouldn't be allowed to go around and act like an immature idiot. You guys are professionals, you know, whether
right.
it be Brett Favre or Vince Young. So,
and
not
that's,
to make
and
an
that's
excuse
always
for
my
him.
Point, though. That's always my point. My point is always, okay, certain people do get away with it. Like you said, Favre got away with it for years. But just because Favre is doing something wrong, does that make you go out there and embarrass your mama?
Justification
and act like that?
Based on
like it,
justification based on another person's actions. Yeah, justifications
yeah.
based on another person's actions are never. That's never the way to go in an argument or a discussion from an alternative point of view. So let me just weigh in. I don't want to disrespect our female audience members. But Vince Young reminds me of a 13-year-old hormonal young lady on her cycle. Like, that's what the dude acts like consistently. And Fisher is a very old-school NFL coach. So they're like oil and water. They don't mix. The owner is made a decision based on his affinity for Texas and Texas, the University of Texas and their players. That decision reminds me of an Al Davis sort of decision or a Jerry Jones sort of decision.
Mm-hmm.
He picked Vince Young up because he was a Longhorn. Now, it just so happened that it kind of worked out. And one of the things that Fisher's staple is play good defense, run the ball, and pick up players who are hungry and hungrier than everybody else because they feel like they've been slighted throughout their career. And he identifies those with enough talent, enough savvy, enough understanding of the game to plug them into his system and say, look, go out there and show the world that you're better than these guys that were picked ahead of you. So
right.
Vince Young doesn't fit into that system. He had a silver spoon handed to him to become the starting quarterback, and he's always taken it that way. And that's the reports that I get from our sources in Titans land. You know, through the years, Vince Young has felt a sense of entitlement, and Fisher resents that.
Well, look, the owner made a decision, though. He said, both of y'all coming back next year, so y'all going to have to learn to work it out. And, so we're going to wrap it up for you, and, you know, after Jimmy finishes what he has to say, we're going to go out on the Redskins' new fight song that B. Austin made last week. But Jimmy,
yes, sir. We want to thank everybody for joining us in a war room for our turkey roast. We enjoyed having you. Thanks for tuning in to the best Marshall Falcon sports show on the web. Come back next week. We'll talk some football, some basketball. We'll get you caught up on all the biggest stories in sports. So pretty much, just come back and holler at us next week. You dig?
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Enjoy that turkey leftover.
Yo, it's time
Fail to the Deadskins. Fail for on the warpath. Losing for old DC. Humble, pick, we're sore. We don't want any more. Beat up, flip us, interception. Let the points and eagles soar. Get down, lay down, till they have won. Daughters of Washington. Rah, rah, rah. Fail to the foreskins. Fail in defeat. Frauds on the warpath. You lose for old DC.